Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
William Carey University Athletics.
Every sport you find exciting.
Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
This is Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
We're covering everything William Carey University Athletics. From the field to the court and the diamond. On Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com. Now, here's your host, Ben Milam.
Hello again, boys and girls, and welcome back to Crusader Talk. We are indeed talking all things William Carey Athletics. It's going to be mostly baseball this evening. We've got plenty of to talk about. Caleb, you got something to say?
I wonder why it's going to be all about baseball today, Ben.
Well,
why wouldn't it be?
William Carey punched their ticket to the NAIA College World Series for the fourth time in program history last Thursday. We're going to break that down in gritty detail with the head man himself, Bobby Halford, here in just a moment. We've got Robbie Gutierrez from NAIA Ball, who do an excellent job of covering NAIA college baseball. That's a little later in the show. Anything you need to know about the NAIA College Baseball World Series and William Carey and their run, they will begin on Friday at 3:05. That's 5:05 local time. We're going to bring it to you tonight. My name is Ben Milam. I'm here with my partner, Caleb Hamill, our producer, engineer, Will Tony with us, and Bobby Halford on the horn. Coach Halford, thanks for being with us.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Well, Coach, let me ask you just really quick. I mean, you've had a whole lot of wins in your career. That one on Thursday, that one had to feel pretty good.
You know, that was a weird game. You're playing for a championship, and our guys came out and scored the 9 runs the night before, day before, and it just kind of set the tone, and it just kind of snowballed, basically.
Yeah.
And it was one of the easier wins that I've ever been associated with, but not taking anything away from Ava Maria, and because sure, they have a nice team and that type of thing. But our guys were really super focused on getting it done, and that's what happened.
27-4 was the final score of that opening round title game victory for the Crusaders. And Coach, I think you can expand that statement you just made and say that about the whole opening round. It was a pretty complete performance all three games, yes?
Yeah, you know, we were really pleased. And our guys, again, you know, we pointed to this all year, and that's what we talk about. And, you know, playing well enough to win your regular season and also play well enough to host a opening round and also be a number one seed. All those things work really to your advantage, and that's something that in years past, you know, when you have to go to a high seed location and play a team that's really good, and, you know, it makes it more difficult. So, you know, we kind of put ourselves in a good position, you know, by playing well most all the year, really. And so that was the benefit, so to speak.
Coach, looking at the performance your team had in the opening round, they outscored their opponents 45-6 when you combine those three games together. And that speaks to two things about your program. One, the starting pitching for William Carey has performed well, especially toward the end of the year, but especially there in the opening round with Andrew Shira, A.J. Stinson, and Dario Herrera. But it also, I believe, speaks to the fact that your team is finding their bats here late in the season, which they've had them throughout the year too, but they have really come on strong here toward the end.
Well, one of the things, you know, those two guys that you just mentioned, Shira and A.J. Stinson, they both were injured this year. And, you know, Stinson missed, you know, quite a bit of time with an arm ailment, and also Shira missed over a week and a half with his concussion. So, you know, they're just basically kind of getting back to where we think they can be or where we thought they would be. And then Herrera, you know, we had him in the bullpen early in the season, and just, you know, he's so much better as a starter, and so he's really responded well to that. And so that's a lot of the reason that just being healthy, you know, and just everybody, you know, this, the guys that you've been counting on or you were counting on to be ready. And, of course, swinging a bat, we've done it all year. And so we've kind of overcome some, you know, mistakes and that type thing and out-hit people. And so, you know, you want to do that, but, you know, deep down that against the good pitching, that's hard to do.
And to kind of build off that statement about pitching, you know, looking at the format of this NAIA tournament that's ahead of us, it's really odd compared to people that have probably watched the NCAA College World Series that expect a double elimination first half and then a best of three series to crown a champion. No, this is a pure double elimination tournament from start to finish in a jam-packed, you know, basically a week of days.
Yep.
And so it really is a strain on pitching staffs to go start to finish. We noticed that Andrew Shira threw the most pitches he ever has in this season on that first game against Houston Victoria in the complete game. Then A.J. Stinson, obviously no stranger to long outings. How do the performances of those guys help set you up for the longevity of this tournament?
Well, you know, earlier in the season, you know, back, you know, a few weeks ago, we were running into a lot of bad weather. And those guys basically got off of their regular routine as far as their rest and that type thing. We were able to get them back into that routine. And both of those guys, early in their career, in their college career, both were relievers. So, you know, they're used to throwing a lot. And so they both are starters now. And so I think the experience they had in years past, especially before we got them, this just kind of set them up, you know, and put them in a good spot to be, you know, to go long in a game.
Well, Coach, up in Lewiston, Idaho, I would imagine it feels maybe a tad bit different going this time for a number of reasons, but you've been there, you've got familiarity with Harris Field and that ballpark. How do you feel that plays to your offense's strengths?
I think it plays really well to our offense. It's not as big and spacious as Milton Wheeler Park, and so I think that works well for our players. And it's a really good park as far as the atmosphere. They do a great job up there. The crowds are really good. And you know, when we were there last time, they kind of adopted us. We were kind of like a crowd favorite. And so we kind of look forward to going back there and reuniting with some of the people that we met there. And, of course, one of the host families that, you know, was there, we've been in contact with them a little bit this week. So it's been kind of fun.
Well, and I would imagine part of why you were a fan favorite in 2017 is you were one of the underdogs. You were the 9 seed, not so this year as the 4 seed, and on paper one of the favorites even outside of that high seed. In terms of how that feels different, do you feel like there is any different pressure, or how does that dynamic play compared to that 2017 year?
You know, I really don't think so. I think with the kind of caliber of the players that we have, this group right here, that they've kind of remained as, it doesn't bother them. I mean, they kind of look at themselves as an underdog to a certain extent because all year long, you know, we weren't getting ranked as high as we felt like we should have. Yeah. But other than that, you know, these guys just like to play, and they like to play as a team, and they play hard. And so I think that I don't think that has an effect on this group at all.
Now, Coach, this is going to be Ben's first trip up to Lewiston, Idaho, and I know you've already spoken to how the park plays for your team, but what is the experience like going to an NAIA World Series up there in Idaho?
Well, it's very similar to Omaha as far as it's a mini Omaha. You know, you have a population of about 35,000 there in Lewiston, and then right across the river there in Clarkston, Washington, you have about 8,000 to 10,000. So that whole area goes in for it, and they plan for it the whole year, and they have over 350 volunteers that show up and work the ballpark. They have a grounds crew that does most, you know, all the work. And you have your host families and you have your sponsors and that type thing. And all the restaurants, all the hotels are on board with that. And you see yard placard, you know, all the way through. You know, people welcome to the Avista NAIA World Series, you know, in the yards and that type thing. And it's in a neighborhood where a lot of people walk to the ballpark, and it's kind of it's really a homey type situation that, like I said, the whole town goes in for it. It's a big part of their year.
Well, Coach, final question before we let you go against Bellevue out of Nebraska in that 4-5 matchup on Friday. Is there any particular key you look at to getting that win? Because, of course, that's a big deal. If you get that one, you don't play again until Monday. It sets you up really nicely pitching-wise. Any keys to that game?
Well, I think, you know, playing good defense and not giving away runs, and that's some of the things that we haven't done at times, but we've out-hit our mistakes. And I think that playing a clean game is very important. And, pitch staying ahead in the pitch count, that type thing. And but the thing that impresses me is this team's been there 4 years in a row, and this program has been there 16 times. So yeah. The guy that, you know, Dwayne that coaches them. He's a veteran. He's been with them for a long time. He came down and they played us years ago during spring break for them in a three-game set. So we're familiar with them and that program. You know, they're south of Omaha, that right there, and right there in Nebraska. And so they've played a really good schedule every year, and they're one of the top NAIA teams year in and year out. And so they've won a national championship too. So it'll be a good competition.
All right, Coach, best of luck. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll see you very soon.
Thank you.
All right, that is Bobby Holford, head coach of our baseball Crusaders. We have plenty more to talk about, as you might imagine. Robbie Gutierrez from NAIA Ball. It is the premier source of NAIA college baseball coverage and journalism. They just do a fantastic job.
I was listening to their spaces on Twitter every night of the opening round. Yeah. Great, great stuff from those guys.
Yeah, and will be continued great stuff this week and next for the NAIA College Baseball World Series. Again, starting on Friday, we'll break it all down in detail as we continue the conversation with Robbie Gutierrez right after this. This is Crusader Talk.
From the coaches to the student athletes and the fans that cheer them on, you're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Crusader Talk continues on this Monday evening. We appreciate you being with us wherever you are tuned in, either live right here at Super Talk 97.3 or on the web at supertalkhattiesburg.com or in podcast form, wherever you get your podcast. My name is Ben Milam. My partner, Caleb Hamill. Our producer, Will Tony. And Robbie Gutierrez from NAIA Ball, as we previewed in our last segment, the premier source for all things NAIA college baseball. Robbie, thanks for spending some time with us tonight.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me on. I'm super excited to be here and just kind of go over everything for the World Series with y'all at that time of the year.
It certainly is. There is nothing like postseason baseball. There's just straight up, there's nothing like postseason baseball. And Robbie, this is me and Caleb have kind of gotten the baptism by fire a little bit over the last 3 or 4 years of NAIA athletics and NAIA college baseball. And we have grown an appreciation and love for this level of college athletics and baseball in particular. I tweeted something to this effect, but there's a pure love of the game and kind of amateurism that you don't get in a lot of levels of college athletics is part of what makes it so special, without compromising the level of competition and athlete that you would see at some of those other levels. For you, why cover this sport? Why is it so special to you?
Well, for me, I'm a product of this level. I'm a South Texas kid. I'm from a border town. I went 500 miles away to Northwood University in Cedar Hill, Texas, and chose to go there because they were an ultra-competitive baseball program at this level. Played there in 2012, 2013, 2014, and in 2013, actually there at Milton Wheeler Field in Hattiesburg, got to dogpile on the field, and win an opening round championship and go to the World Series. And one of my favorite memories in the world is that. And, I've seen the evolution of this league. One of my former roommates was a closer, our closer, who was, 94 to 96 on a bad day. you hear the stories of what it was like before the BB Corps bat and the BESR era. And even now, you see just absolute talent.
Yeah.
Up and down this level, and really, if the Major League Baseball draft wasn't the way that it was, moving to 20 rounds where it kind of devalues the senior, and devalues the older player, you're still looking at about 20 to 40 players per year getting drafted, like we had in our earlier days pre-COVID.
Yeah. Well, Robbie, it's a pleasure to have you on. I admire yours and Connor's work over there on NAIA Ball. It was my favorite thing to listen to on the way home after we had several late nights with our region here in Hattiesburg. You know, thank you, weather in Mississippi. But for you guys, you've really helped keep NAIA baseball on the map, and we appreciate your coverage. Now, with that comes a lot of expertise in knowing a lot about these different teams, and the one that everybody on this podcast is wondering about is Bellevue. So give us the rundown on how Bellevue got to this point and what have been their strengths so far in 2023.
That is, first and foremost, to me, the greatest strength of Bellevue is their coaching. And it starts, you know, a lot like you could turn to William Carey and say, Bobby Hofford is the reason why they are, you know, so successful, you know, in so many years. And for Bellevue, it's the same thing. It's Dwayne Monlux. He's the reason why they are continuously in the national spotlight. You're not going to hear in college baseball of many blue chips being, you know, these blue star teams, these blue bloods being in the Midwest, but Bellevue, Nebraska deserves that conversation 100%. Hmm. They won a national title in 1995. They're 48-8. They've got the 11th best team average in the nation. They've got the 10th best team ERA in the nation. They've got hitters like Kanta Kobayashi, who's hitting 396 with 78 runs scored. Jake Lacy, who has 69 hits with 13 home runs, 70 RBIs. They've got Logan Grant, who has 75 hits and 11 home runs with a 377 average. The one thing I will say that makes this year a little bit different, they were a World Series team last year as well, but what makes this year a little bit different is I feel like they don't have the really huge ace arm that they've had in the past. That doesn't mean they don't have good pitchers. I would still say Blake and Dustin Shorey are solid, solid pitchers. I think Shorey's been really good as of late. He's probably not going to be the guy that you see. I would actually say probably Blake Crippen, who's thrown 93 innings, is that guy. Not a lot of strikeouts for the entire staff. They're not a high strikeout team. And when it comes to William Carey, it's like, how does that play into the strengths of an offensively stacked team like William Carey, where you're not going to see a wipeout slider? You know, you're going to see a guy who pitches to contact, and are you able to make the adjustments that can take advantage of that?
Well, you mentioned it there. That's a great segue. Actually, I'll hold off on asking you about William Carey here. I want to ask you about the opening round, this national tournament so far as a whole. Any surprises? What jumped out to you about that week?
Oh, man, a whole ton of surprises. I did not have, you know, I actually gave the committee a lot of credit. I gave them a lot of credit on multiple facets and in my personal life as well. I let them know I thought they did a great job. But you know, one of the areas that I thought was the weakest, I let them know I thought there would be a surprise there, and there was. You know, and we saw two real big surprises, two 4 seeds advancing to the World Series. Yep. One in Indiana Wesleyan, who swept through their bracket and walked off Missouri Baptist 7-6 on a walk off walk. And then Mid-America Nazarene, who at the start of the year, that you could say it's a surprise, you know, because they were 4 seed. But at the start of the year, MNU was the number 12 team nationally. Started the year 1-8, 1-9, something like that. And they just turned it around. They, you know, got sent to the if necessary game with LSU Shreveport, and they were just able to pull it out at the end. Shreveport just did not have enough in the tank, you know, and they were a team that, if they play all year to their full potential, are they a 4 seed? Probably not. Yep. They're really probably not. I don't think Taylor in Indiana is a surprise. To me, more than anything, the biggest surprise is going to be you've got two teams from a crossroads league there that's mainly Indiana and Michigan that had never had World Series representation in the last 10 years that all of a sudden has two teams get in. I'm really excited to see them. And how they compete. You know, we from this group will likely choose our coach of the year. So, you know, it's we don't always go with just the guy that wins the national title. But it'll be really interesting to see. The other 4 seed, if I leave it out, you know, I'm not doing it justice. Lewis Clark State was the other 4 seed, the host team, who hosts the World Series, no longer gets an automatic bid to the World Series every year, but they have to play their way in. They did win their opening round tournament. And, you know, I've said it all year. I've said it on podcasts. I've said it on Twitter Spaces. I've said it on multiple facets. This is one of the most talented teams in the nation at any level on paper. And if they can figure it out, because throughout much of the season they hadn't figured it out, if they can figure it out, they're going to be dangerous, and here we are.
Yeah, they really figured it out against Hope International there earlier in the opening round, which kind of surprised a lot of us with the come-from-behindness that they were able to show. So let's kind of look at this bracket. We mentioned Bellevue on the other side opposite William Carey in the first game. We could talk about how the Crusaders match up against them a little bit, but I want to look ahead a little bit to the high seed that gets the bye in that side of the bracket, in that Southeastern. The Fire coming off of NAIA World Series championship last year. What have they brought back to the table this year for them to try to make another run?
I mean, pick your poison, right? first off, you know, it's like you said, they're the defending national champs. They're 55-4. One of the teams to beat them this year, Bellevue, you did beat them in a one game, you know, matchup there in Lakeland. So it was really fun to see. They're the number two team nationally as far as average goes, number one in ERA. Isaac Nunez and Gary Laura are the guys to watch. They're both incredible hitters. And then Rob Adams on the mound is special. Darian Smith, though, is also a guy to watch this season.
Well, Robbie, let's talk William Carey a little bit. And actually, before we get into this, any chance we could hold you for a couple minutes onto the next segment?
100%. We can
okay.
do that. Absolutely.
All right. Perfect. That gives us a little more breathing room here. In terms of William Carey, when you look at that team on paper, how do they set up specifically for a run into, obviously winning that game one is a big deal to get to that Monday and have those 2 days off. What sets up for the Crusaders to make a run in this tournament?
I think it's just that. I think it's winning that first game, especially when you're in the middle part of that bracket there. Getting off till Monday, you're not a candidate to go home. They're not booking a flight for you. You're not thinking about, you know, what happens. Like you're there. You're there till at least, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, and you know that's a huge product for William Carey. I think that they have a team, especially offensively, that can play. Now it's easy to say that because everybody's super offensive this year.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, more than anything, they have a good opportunity power wise. You know, ability to put the ball in the gap, 12th team overall nationally in average. I think it'll be great to watch.
Oh, it certainly will. All right, we're going to hang on to Robbie, and we'll talk to him and continue this conversation, bookend it in our third segment. We'll talk some of those offensive numbers as well as a few of the other teams to watch for in the World Series. Still a whole lot to come on Crusader Talks. Stay with us.
You're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Yes, you are, and it is so very good to be with you. Big week for the William Carey Crusaders. Friday begins the NAIA College Baseball World Series, 3:05. That is local time in Lewiston, Idaho, 5:05. Start time here in Hattiesburg. It'll be live right here, Super Talk 97.3. I'll be on the call. Could not be more excited about it. My name is Ben Milam with my partner Caleb Hamill, our producer engineer William P. Tony, running the ones and twos. And Robbie Gutierrez, we're hanging on to him for a couple more questions. Robbie, let's continue the conversation right off the bat. I want to ask about individual players that you're looking forward to watching this week. I mean, one of the guys that off air in between breaks, in between segments, me and Caleb were talking about A.J. Shepkowski. Boy, Shepkowski for Georgia Gwinnett, a 30-30 guy. I mean, just unreal. I mean, video game numbers don't even quite do it justice. And there are a number of guys in this tournament who fit that bill. Who excites you in this World Series in terms of individual players?
I mean, you hit the nail on the head right there. A.J., I can tell you right now, it should not be a surprise to anyone. We are going to come out with a list of top 10 hitters and pitchers that'll be in Lewiston. AJ is going to be number one, and he has to be. You're talking about the second player in college baseball history to have a 30-30 year, only with J.D. Drew of Florida State in 1997. Just absolutely incredible. The first guy at this level to do it. He's special, and that's a true ballpark. That ballpark there in Lawrenceville, the Grizzly Baseball Complex, plays true. It is not a Cracker Jack box. He hit more than half of his home runs there at home.
Yep.
Absolutely incredible to think about. Gary Laura, Isaac Nunez, like I mentioned earlier, are guys that I'm going to be watching from Southeastern University. I think Max Harper from Cumberland is going to be a good one. John Ponder from Georgia Gwinnett, Caleb Kolpian from Taylor. I mean, the list goes on and on. Chase Bryant from Southeastern. Stephen Cullen's got something ridiculous this year in home run numbers as well. Logan Grant from Bellevue. Brady Rennick from Westmont out in California. Cade Vandermolen. I mean, the list just goes on and on. Yeah. Of guys we can watch as far as offense goes. Pitching is I think, where this whole tournament is going to be won. And if you look at the top two seeds, they're the ones who have the most pitching to go off of. Rob Adams is incredible. He was, the National Pitcher of the Year. Darian Smith is really good. Southeastern plays in the toughest conference in the nation in the Sun Conference. Although the Southern States, I'd put the Southern States number two right there. One or number two this year. It was an incredible conference this season.
Yeah.
I think you're just saying that to make us feel good over here. No, but really, we saw the Sun Conference in action with Ave Maria, and they are no slouch.
No,
I mean,
sir.
They set a whole new record with stolen bases.
They are as a team. They used to be middle of the pack, and they have made just a huge jump in Sun Conference play. We saw a little bit of a down year out of both St. Thomas and Kaiser. St. Thomas mainly because they scheduled just absolutely insane. I don't think anybody will be doing that after what they did this year, but there's not a lot of people in 29 and 25 and we're saying, hey, is that team in? Because they've got 16 wins against the top 25. Nobody else has that. It's really hard to look at that. As far as pitching goes, I mean, Zach Trevino from Mid-America Nazarene, Jack Ross from Taylor, and there are quite a few arms at William Carey that I think will do some damage as well that have a lot of ability to really help make a run. Arms are what's going to carry you, especially in this tournament where you're talking about, 4 or 5 days in, number one's still a day away from coming back around. You got to have those fillers ready.
All right, I want to ask you specifically a little further detail about William Carey. As you were doing your research, as you watched in the opening round, do you feel like the Crusaders, with the pitching, you feel like you've got three true starters who have been really good, especially in postseason play? The offense, obviously, has been one of the better in the country. How do you feel like the Crusaders shape up? You get later in this tournament, that's when the pitching starts to become the key. Do you feel like the Crusaders have the bullets in the gun, so to speak, to make a deep run, especially late in this tournament?
I think so. And I had talked with a rival coach in the conference about what he felt about the arms. Obviously, the offensive numbers speak for themselves. RJ Stinson's got 101 hits. I mean, that's hard to do at any level.
Yeah.
And when you can get there, it's incredible to do it at any level. But when you look at it, and, he said AJ Stinson on his own right was the closest thing to a pro he felt on the staff. But Andrew, and excuse me if I get the name wrong here, Shira.
That's right. Yep.
Andrew has been, he's dynamic. He's the most all-encompassed. He's really well-rounded was what the coach had told me. And it ended up being the three. I mean, anytime you get that lefty that's got 70-plus innings at a three, who's striking almost, his K per nine is almost 10 with a sub-4 ERA. I mean, it's going to be tough. And this year, I feel like we're not seeing league-wide the dynamic arms, and it's the pitching that's going to carry them there. And that's why I think William Carey has the making, the ability to do that. If their pitching can hold up, if their bullpen can hold up, if Snyder can come in and close games out like he's done regularly this year. I know he's got a 4 ERA. He's got 9 saves on the season. If he can come in and finish it out, the only issue is, and the reason why pitching is so big is because the issue is this is a hitter's ballpark through and through. Harris Field is a hitter's ballpark through and through. It's very hard to do special things there as a pitcher. And every now and then you'll run into it and find a really special outing and appearance. And I think teams just go in there and power teams with power and hitting you know, can put up runs, it's like, can you keep them off the board now?
Well, Robbie, to wrap it up with you here, what do we have to look forward to as far as content with NAIA ball throughout this tournament and in the week now leading up to it?
Absolutely. So this is kind of our kickoff for the week. You know, in being here with y'all and talking about the World Series, I am going to be recording the podcast tomorrow. So I'm excited about that. And then on top of that, we will have a top 10 hitters and top 10 pitchers in Lewiston. It'll be a graphic that comes out as well. It'll be a part of our all-encompassing World Series preview that we will have. All of that will come out on Thursday, the podcast, the World Series preview. Every single night, we're going to be doing those tune-ins on Twitter Spaces. You can find us at NAIBall on Twitter. You can find me at RobG1063 on Twitter as well, unless you like at the Astros and Texas Longhorns. I'm going to tell you, maybe not follow me, but definitely follow us at NAIBall on Twitter.
Well, Robbie, time flies when you're having fun. This was fun indeed. Thanks for spending some time with us, and we can't wait for a little baseball this week.
Absolutely. Enjoy it. Have a great time. And you know, really special memories there in Hattiesburg. And so I definitely appreciate y'all giving me an opportunity to come on and chat with y'all.
All right. It was certainly a pleasure. Robbie Gutierrez of NAIA Ball spent a little time with us breaking things down in detail. Again, nobody does it better, Caleb.
And that's not his day job either. I don't think we established that. Yeah. I mean, the guy works in a standard job and then at night just comes down and breaks it all down. And he and all the rest of the guys working around, I mean, they all work so tremendously hard on all
first class content.
I referred to him outside of the segments as what I consider to be like the Kendall Rogers of NAIA baseball.
Yeah.
So it's such a privilege to get to have him on. I hope we get him back on for regular season check-ins every now and then.
Oh, we're going to do our very best. Trust me. Okay, so Caleb, when we look at this bracket, let's break it down in detail a little bit. You mentioned it is maybe not the traditional World Series setup that people are used to. 10 teams and the top two seeds get a bye into the next day on Saturday. Break it down for us. How does the World Series bracket set up?
How much time you got? about
3 minutes.
3 minutes left in this segment. All right. So, one, it's odd to have 10 teams in a tournament. You mentioned the way they do that is they have the first two teams get the bye.
Yeah.
So, William Carey, the 4 seed, is paired with a 5. The other ways they're paired up are 7 with 10, 3 with 6, 8 with 9. And so, William Carey plays on the side with the 1, 8, and 9 seed. So the winner of William Carey and Bellevue gets the bye that we mentioned in the winner's bracket. They bypass Saturday and go straight to Monday. Nobody plays on Sunday. Indiana Wesleyan and Lewis Clark State in William Carey's side of the bracket are the 8 and 9. They will get to play one another. The winner plays Southeastern, the 1 seed of the tournament. The winner of that game will play the winner of William Carey and Bellevue. We hope it's the Crusaders. On Monday at 8:35 Hattiesburg time.
Yep.
And so it'll be – what we hope for is that William Carey is playing late-night ball throughout this tournament.
Sure, yes.
If that's the case, then that means they were in the winner's bracket or there was some terrible disaster of weather up in Lewiston. We should have asked Robbie how the weather is up there this time of year. But anyway, that's William Carey's side. The key is win, and you're in a great spot. If you lose, you'll play Saturday, and you'll play in the – I have to double-check myself here. Game 3, loser plays at 1:35 on Saturday. And then if they progress through the loser's bracket there, they'll be playing kind of the mid-morning, early afternoon game as Hattiesburg time for kind of the rest of the tournament.
Yeah, with no breaks after that Sunday.
Yeah, no breaks.
That's why it's such a big deal to win that Friday game.
And it gets really – and this is why I mentioned how odd it is to have a pure double elimination tournament through and through. I believe Omaha used to be this way back in the 80s before they turned to this new format in the 2000s and later. But there comes a day when you get to Wednesday, May 31st, where the tournament committee reorganizes all the teams, because what will happen is you'll have one team that is undefeated and 3 teams with 1 loss that they'll all seed together and they'll play one another. And if the winning team that hasn't gotten a loss gets a loss, you're left with a 3-team finale tournament. I don't know how they choose who has to play the extra game, but you could be left with 3 teams on Thursday.
Yeah.
And that would be, the final two games of the tournament. The flip side is if the winning bracket team wins, they play Thursday against the one loss team. And if the undefeated team wins, they're the champion. If they lose, then you have championship day on Friday, and it's the winner take all. So it's a long tournament as far as number of games, but short in the number of days they pack it into.
What's the point in having a double elimination tournament at this level? Because at this point, when you get into the College World Series, it should be win or go home, right?
Well, it's that, and then but every now and then you have a team that runs into that one specialty kryptonite pitcher that just absolutely is the right matchup, but all in all, they're the better team. So if you take William Carey in the opening round, if Ave Maria beats the Crusaders in what was the championship game, it's like they played a game at the front end of the tournament and then a three-game series with William Carey, which is just like a regular season thing. So I like how it works to a degree, but it's a lot of games.
Hey, just win, baby, and things will take care of themselves. We'll talk the rest of the gaps to fill in terms of the World Series, and we'll tie a bow on it right after this. This is Crusader Talk.
You're tuned in to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Wrapping things up tonight on baseball-themed edition of Crusader Talk. Again, William Carey will begin a run at a national title on a Friday at 5:05 local time up and over in Lewiston, Idaho, against Bellevue out of Nebraska, the Bellevue Bruins. This will be their fourth consecutive World Series, so they are no stranger to Harris Field in Lewiston, Idaho. The Crusaders, their fourth appearance in program history. And Caleb, I feel like, and we heard Robbie talk about it, the offense is obvious. One of the best in the country, the Crusaders have produced all year long, but you really feel like the pitching and the depth in the bullpen, both the rotation and the bullpen, sets up well. When you look at this bracket, there's kind of that one spot, game four, where everyone in the tournament will be thin and pitching depth-wise, but you're probably going to have one of those postseason hero performances type from a guy who maybe has not had a lot of starts this year.
Yeah, and we saw William Carey get in that tight spot in the SSAC tournament, and they found a way to get that win when you look at it from a perspective of Shira, Stinson,
Herrera.
And then your fourth guy. They were able to get that win there, but then it was all hands on deck, and we saw what happened in the Mobile game. The difference here is it sets up okay because of how William Carey is seated in this tournament.
Yes.
Because you do get that skip of Saturday, Sunday if you win. That's, again, why we say it's so key to win that first game against Bellevue.
Huge.
So what we look at is you have the standard first three games. If you stay in the winner's bracket, you get to that fourth game, and like you said, it's going to be a hit fest for whoever is playing in that game, because on the loser's bracket side, it's going to be, who is left in the bullpen or who's going to be on extremely short rest throwing his heart out. And then you turn around to a potential championship game on Thursday. That's 6 days removed from the Friday night game for Andrew Shira. That's basically a full week's rest for him. I would imagine Coach Oliver and company would go with him again. And then if they had to play Friday, throw AJ Stinson. Again, that's all judging based off if they had to play that many games. So it's simple that if you win five, you're national champions. If you did not lose a game, you win five in a row, you're national champions. So it would be the first time for William Carey since 1969 and first one in this generation of Crusaders.
Right. Yeah. Well, we're dealing with a lot of hypotheticals, obviously, and a lot of things can change and typically do change in postseason baseball. But we feel like, and you heard Coach Holford in our first segment, he feels like this team is built pretty well. And you heard Robbie Gutierrez say it before a run in this type of format, this 10-team double elimination format. A couple of notes to add on the baseball superlatives that just continue to stack for the Crusaders. Bobby Hallford was named the Mike Jacobs Coach of the Year in the SSAC. Andrew Shira, your Pitcher of the Year. RJ Stinson, Player of the Year. So the Crusaders sweep those top awards in the SSAC. And on the first team all-conference, again, the Crusaders, pretty loaded representation here. Jake Lissette, RJ Stinson, Patrick Lee, Andrew Shira, Dario Herrera, all first-team honors. Jake Lissette also gets a gold glove in 2023. Second team, Preston Ratliff, John Snyder, and Lane Jaro rightfully deserved all freshman team honors. And Caleb, to continue the theme there, a guy we've talked about a little bit, our Seder of the Week, kind of an easy choice.
Yeah, easy when you go nine full innings of shutout baseball. Andrew Shira gets his 10th win of the year. Gave up just three hits against Houston Victoria. Four walks, eight strikeouts, and faced just six batters more than the minimum in that contest. 127 pitches, his longest outing of the season, basically because a lot of his outings result in run rules because of the offense backing him up. Yes.
I don't care what level you're playing at. That is incredible.
Yes, it is.
And if he keeps that up, of course, we talked to him later, and he said, man, this is the sorest my arm's ever been after a game. You can understand why.
Yeah.
But it's a talented performance, and he has all the time in the world to rest after that first-round game against Houston Victoria to what will be likely Friday night against Bellevue. So he's our Seder of the Week, and Ben, I got to tell you, I'm jealous that you're getting to go to Lewiston. And we're happy that we're going to get to bring those games, not just online, but we're thankful that Ole Miss has dedicated their season so that we could have William Carey baseball
thank
on the air
so
instead.
Much. That's a nice way to put it.
Just, thanks, Rose.
Choosing not to appear in the SEC tournament.
That's a volunteer basis. But if you're an advertiser out there that want to help support this broadcast and support Ben's journey out there on Super Talk Mississippi, reach out to one of us. He's Ben O'Milam on Twitter, and I'm Caleb Hamill One on Twitter as well. Send us a DM or message us, and we'll get you connected to possibly advertising with us in this. And Ben, it's going to be a long trip. It's going to be a fun one.
This is what you play for, man. This is what you play for. Going to be a whole lot of fun. Up in the very, almost to the very tip of the northwest of the United States. I've never been to Idaho, but I am, like I said, thrilled to be a part of this. Can't wait to get this thing rolling, Caleb.
Yeah, and for a programming note, we will not have a Crusader Talk next week because, one, it's Memorial Day, but two, Ben's going to be hopefully out of pocket for quite a while.
We hope.
We hope.
Well, and hopefully we will have, like you said, some late-night baseball to tune into in place of Crusader Talk.
That'll
be a little later in the evening. But
that'll be good.
All right, that'll wrap it up for us ahead of this World Series run for the Crusaders. We hope you'll tune in for that action. That is Caleb Hamill for Will Tony, our producer, engineer. My name is Ben Milam. This has been another edition of Crusader Talk. Until we meet you next time, go Saders and good night.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.